Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 20th of September, recording at 9:21 p.m., and that's still British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In stock markets, during the Asian session, pretty quiet, actually. No significant changes. Well, the best change would have been India, probably. That was up just over 2% for the Nifty and also the Sensex index. European stock markets were firmer, good gains, averaging 2% or more, averaging 2%, I should say, across the boards, including the DAX up 2.88%. The Americas were, well, mixed. Wall Street showed a reasonable gain for most of the day, but then that faded right at the closing. The Dow was up 140 points at one stage, but it closed just 7.65 points higher. So we certainly came off the highs. I noticed the S&P December future got up to 1214 and a half, but closed at 1196. Similarly, the NASDAQ got up to 2333, another day to the upside, but then at that point, but then closed down very slightly at 2296. That's the December future as well. Okay. Long-dated government bond prices had mostly weakened, but firmed up here a little bit towards the close. So quite firm overall. And in terms of today's action, now precious. Let's see. Take the dollar first. The U.S. dollar index is slightly weaker. We have not much going on, though. It's a very, very quiet day. Australian dollar, I notice, is a little firmer. Precious metals, we had better action there today. And gold is currently at 1804, nearly 1805. That's up over $26. And we've got platinum up 10, palladium up 370. Silver had a good push back up above 40, but then gave a chunk of it up. It's currently up 70 cents at 39.87. Crude oil, a dollar higher, putting Brent back above the 110 level. And we've got the WTI at 86.89. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, again, the bottom line is that there's no definitive evidence that the bear market, where the bear market is evident, is over. Some markets have been outstanding holdouts so far. They're mainly among the ASEAN sector, Thailand, Indonesia, Philippines are just about the best of that lot. And then there's the NASDAQ, which had really gained. Not only did it not maintain the downward break from its top area formed this year, earlier this year, but it also pushed back up two-thirds of the way into that formation. But again, it backed off here a little bit towards the close, but only down very slightly. Now, it's a mixed picture overall. If you look at most of the individual markets, you'll find a number of shares that are doing quite well. They're still in a minority, but you've seen them. Owen's been posting them, and he's away today, but I've got a report produced by Jackson Wong, whose name most of you will recall. Just looking through the U.S. list, I think 18 stocks hit new 52-week highs yesterday. Now, that may not sound like a whole lot, and it isn't in a big market, but they're big companies. And you've got Amazon, you've got Coca-Cola, you've got Visa, Colgate, Palmolive, Kimberly-Clark, and Southern and Co. I've reproduced that report as well as part of a market discussion session. So, but I mentioned that in the sense that markets have not been so weak that everything's locked in a downtrend. I mean, there is a risk that still that could ultimately happen, but there's also just as good a chance that some of these markets are in a support building phase. And among the candidates, most importantly, we can certainly list the USA in that category, one of the better performances overall, and that has such a big leash effect influence on other markets that that it's extremely important. The China sector is weaker and has been really for quite some time. Now, if we contrast those two markets, Wall Street has historically low interest rates. And it's got a very accommodative Federal Reserve, and that creates a tailwind for equities. And we know that Bernanke favors a stronger stock market on the basis that that can increase confidence, lead to more job creation, and so forth. Now, in China, which has much stronger GDP growth than the USA. But in China, we've got a monetary squeeze underway, and that obviously creates a headwind. We've also had a lot of supply that's come on stream in the last year and a half, 2 years. And that also creates a headwind, whereas in the U.S. the tendency has been to see corporate buybacks, more corporate buybacks than new supply, at least from American companies listed there. So the supply of equities has actually shrunk somewhat in the U.S. But net it all out in here, China has the better valuations, at least among the indices where Westerners will mainly deal, and that will be the HSI, the Hang Seng Index, and the Enterprise Index. Okay, what else is noteworthy in here overall? I think in terms of stock market action, we're probably going to see more ranging by a number of these markets. The key point is that I don't see any evidence that the weaker markets have pulled out of those slumps yet. There's still a lot of concern over Europe. We did get a technical rally last week in the European Banks Index, but that's been drifting. Retracing those gains in the last couple of days here. I'd be cautious overall. I remain cautious overall, but again, I don't think this is panic stations. I'll feel a lot better when we get a shift in monetary policy coming from China and India. Those remain two of the leading growth engines, and here the Asian region in general is a growth engine. And I think it was the rapid Asian recovery from no more than a growth recession, in other words, a slowdown in GDP growth, but not getting anywhere near an actual recession in Asia, that helped Wall Street to bounce back in 2009 and 2010. So I would like to see that Asian growth engine begin to purr once again, but we're going to have to wait for it because we still have this monetary tightness, although it's not severe tightness. Okay. Long-dated government bond prices. There is much talk on the financial channels that the U.S. Will actually, well, that the Fed, in, as part of a little bit of additional easing, may shift the emphasis from its purchasing and holding of short-dated U.S. paper to longer-dated U.S. paper, in the belief that that might cushion the housing market a little bit more. It sounds to me like something of little consequence here overall, except it would keep bond yields down, long-dated government bond yields lower for longer. And certainly, I think some of the buying that we've seen recently, not least yesterday, was an anticipation that that might be the case. Well, we'll know later this week, presumably following this two-day meeting, of which today was the first for the Fed. But certainly Wall Street has been anticipating some form of additional stimulus. I think it'll probably get it, but without it, I think we'll see the market show a disappointed response. And gold and precious, gold and other precious metals. I nibbled a little bit in here today, partly because it's been an orderly retreat, and the market said had steadied up following yesterday's weakness. But it's been one day up and one day or 2 days down, but a very gradual orderly retreat, not a sharp reaction at all. It's always a risk if you're getting a gradual retreat that it can suddenly end in a little bit of acceleration. But I nibbled here in the futures markets today for both gold and silver, particularly silver. And I don't see any evidence to suggest that the bull cycle is over. As I've said in almost every broadcast, this is a secular bull market, but it has been in a corrective phase following those strong gains in August. And we have also seen that if stock markets are really weak, which is not the case at the moment, but if they're really weak, then you do get some selling pressure in the precious metals as well. Oil prices. We have a gradual downward trending channel in that Brent price. You know, Owens, in my view, we'd like to see it a whole lot lower, not least because that would change the game in Asia. I think central banks there would relax a lot in terms of the commodity pressures. Rough rice, which had been pushing steadily higher last month, has given up a little bit of ground. It's back under the $18 level, but that's still fairly high overall, and that's a crucially important food staple for the Asian region. In terms of currencies, we've got a steadier dollar overall, as you know. And I think the actual currency picture is reasonably healthy. The euro softened somewhat over its overall concerns, but it's certainly not falling apart. The US dollar has steadied quite a bit in the last month, so concerns about a dollar crisis seem premature, clearly are premature. The Swiss National Bank succeeded in weakening the Swiss franc, and I think it needed to do that, given the havoc that it was creating, threatening to create in the Swiss economy. Japan could use some of that medicine. They've talked about it, but we haven't seen it yet. But we are close to levels at which intervention has occurred in the past. As soon as we get that dollar yen rate down towards 76, that has been an intervention point. So that's pretty much it here on a somewhat quieter day, although we have that steadier gold and silver price. All the best.